thank you all for coming. Thank you, Father, for being here. Lord, we honor your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for the plan that you have. God, sometimes we try to make our own plans, but God, we just lay down our agendas, our thoughts, our plans, even our intentions, and God, we step into what you want to do tonight. We open ourselves, we open our ears, our hearts, our minds. God, we ask that you would just pull us into destiny tonight. We pray, Lord, that you would just utilize each one of us here. Father, we're thankful that we can be here. We're thankful for all that you're doing. We love you. We give you the honor, the glory, for you are worthy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, do a new thing. Do a new thing in us. Let the fires of revival begin to burn in me. God, let the fires of revival begin to burn in each one. I pray, Lord, that we would find ourselves, even now as we enter into place of worship, God, just that we would be lost in the gaze of the Father tonight. Let the sonship revelation come upon each one of us. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you adore us. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen.
worshipers in the earth right now. And she said that the King of Kings is worthy. That the King of Kings is worthy. That the Lord of Lords is worthy. And sometimes as worshipers, we're waiting for this, like, this song with all the amazing words. But you know what? The King of Kings is worthy. And that is enough to worship Him. So let's just stand in this place, and for 30 seconds, let's just tell Him that He's worthy. Jesus, You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy, God.
Given me authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as You have given Him. Listen to this. And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and that they may know Jesus Christ, Son, listen, if you read it out of the Passion, it says that they may know and experience the one and only true God, and know and experience Jesus. I have to tell you, we're pretty selfish. I know it's not the best news in the world, but we take care of ourselves. We make sure we, you know, if we're afraid, we do something about it. If we're hungry, we do something about it. If we're tired, we do something about it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when we take our eyes off of ourselves and we recognize Him, when we know and experience, listen, eternal life is not just one day you're going to die and then you're going to start your path of eternal life. It doesn't work like that. Eternal life begins when you take your eyes off of you and you put them on the one who's worthy. And you experience and you know. Right? It's the Greek word genosko, which means to experientially know. I know because I encounter and experience you, which engages me in a knowledge I couldn't get otherwise. Not up here, right here. I now know you because I just experienced you. And my beginning of eternal life started right now. So when we humble ourselves and we begin to take our focus off of ourselves, even when we, if we give somebody, I mean, I'm going to be really careful how I say this. I'm not sure that the people who did this would want me to say anything. I don't know, but David, is it okay if I share what happened to you today? Somebody gave David a gift out in the parking lot, and it was an awesome gift. And it was a blessing, but what I see in it is far more than just here's a gift. It was a there's something taking place in us right now of learning honor to a greater level, learning humility to a greater level, of learning to be less self-focused in a time when we want to be self-focused. Here's what I mean, especially with all the fear stirring and all the chaos stirring, the first thing we want to do is take care of ourselves. And so the way that we combat the enemy's plan to make us selfish is to give, right? In a time when you feel like you need to keep, it's the time to give. That is, in my opinion, the most important time to give, because we become more like God in that time. When God gave us Jesus, which happened from the foundation of the world, right? From before we were ever thought of, Jesus was already the sacrificial lamb. And so as we mimic God in our giving, we take our focus off of ourselves, we put our eyes on Him, and we allow ourselves to experience and encounter eternal life over and over. It actually, as you read John 17, the idea of knowing and experiencing is not a one-time thing. It is an ongoing over and over and a daily. Some of us need it minute by minute. Some of us, all of us need it moment by moment. And in that, we learn in a greater measure how to actually live in an eternal life here and now, not holding on to the one day thing. So I wasn't planning on doing this, but I feel right now would be a really good time to receive I really wasn't thinking this way, but I do feel it's important. And so this offering is not for Bridge of Hope. It's not for this house. This offering is will be a gift of honor that we are going to give Destiny. You can come put it in. You can be the first one here. I'll put it way over here for you, babe. You can be the first one. You go drop that in there. Whoa, wait a minute. Destiny putting, hey, come on. Come on, Destiny. That was good. So I want to encourage you, if you are encountering your flesh right now saying, don't give, I challenge you to give. I challenge you to push that aside. And again, if you're feeling like, I'm not sure, just give. And it will be a blessing for David McDonald and his ministry. I wish one day you'll have to tell everybody what kind of things are going on and that you have your hands full of in ministry, literally all over the world, and the miracles. I know you shared some of them last night, but the miracles of giving that happen. I want you to know that every penny that comes in these offerings, we give. We don't keep it. We don't keep because he doesn't charge us anything. He pays his own way up here. He pays his own way to live here or to stay here. But if you are writing a check, you can write it to BOH or Bridge of Hope. We'll make sure we give that to him. You can also go online, akbridgeofhope.com, and there's a PayPal link on there. You can click on that. There's a place of special speaker. You can go on and click on that. That way we can make sure it goes to him. Or you can give cash, whichever. It's all good. So everybody stand up. We're going to receive this offering now, and I want to pray a blessing over it. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be able to take our focus and our gaze and take it off of ourselves and put it where it needs to be on you. Thank you that you lead us in all that we give and all that we do. Thank you that you've not called us to be a people that only take care of ourselves, Lord, but we can be people of honor, people of humility, people of great giving. And thank you for even the increase that I believe this is going to go not only into this United States, but it's going into the world as we give here, Lord. And we're believing for a harvest. We don't give just throwing it out there ambiguously. We give with a purpose to know that it will return. We will see a harvest on our investment. So, Lord, we thank you for that, and we receive the blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and give, and we'll start transitioning here in just a minute. Thank you, worship team. We are really thankful for you guys. So I don't think I got finished. I wanted to finish why I shared with you that somebody gifted David something. He's actually received multiple coins when you've been here. There is a transference of treasure coming your way. You are a miner of gold. You mine the gold out of the hearts and the lives of people. And I believe as you have been faithful to do that, the Lord is transferring some even just natural wealth your way. And so I declare that. I command it to come forth. in the name of Jesus, especially considering I know what your natural situation is with your family and his son and his daughter-in-law. We need to see them come out of Australia and see them be where they need to be. And there is some large amount of finances that need to come in to do that. And I believe it's already on the way in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So David McDonald is no stranger to this house, probably no stranger to you. He has spoken into my life personally. I've seen some amazing, probably some of the largest shifts in my life have come through the word of the Lord that has come through your mouth. And many large shifts here in this house have also come as you have spoken them forth. And we've been obedient to step into what the Lord is saying. And so if you would receive tonight the word of the Lord and receive the prophet tonight, you will receive the reward of the prophet. So David McDonald, would you come? Would you welcome David McDonald?
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. It's great when you hug the pastor and he smells good. I'm telling you, that makes a big difference in a whole lot of things. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I've hugged a lot of pastors and, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, tonight, I'm not going to preach like I did last night. Tonight, I feel that you as a church are in a very important season. You're in an important season of transition. You're in a season of impartation. Amen. How many of you have got children between the ages of 2 and 12? How many of you parents get excited? Now, be honest now. How many of you parents get excited when you see the different transition in their life? Aren't you grateful that he's no longer wearing diapers? Amen. Come on. And so as a church, we're on this amazing journey, and especially this church, and I really feel that as you transform this place, how many of you know that you're going through a little bit of a transformation, a shift? I don't know what it's going to look like. Already it's looking cool. But I believe as you start touching up, giving this place a makeover, that it actually has a spiritual connotation to it. Amen. And so you are in the season of being equipped but upgraded. Amen. There's an upgrade come. And so tonight I want to speak about the characteristics of courageous leaders in a time of revival. Come on. You know, it's one thing having a four-stroke engine. But when you start putting up and putting and building an engine, not only do you build the engine, hopefully you build the suspension. Okay, you'll get that on Wednesday. You can't have a V8 in a mini structure. You're going to have to upgrade everything. Amen? The shock absorbers, the suspension, all those different things need to be upgraded. And I believe you're in an upgrade season. Amen? Come on, give me a little bit more enthusiastic. I had a very poor year over there, but I need you guys to start to just listen to what I'm saying, because, you know, as an apostolic prophetic person, while I'm speaking, God is imparting to you. There's impartation. That's why, Marita, whenever you come, I get encouraged, because I've never seen you not take notes. So she's like the star pupil. Amen? I'm always looking for Marita. Well, she's taking notes. It must be good. So I want to encourage you, when you come to meetings like this, take notes. Get your phone out. Take notes on your phone. Amen? Don't just become hearers of the word. Become doers of the word. So we're in a season where God wants to start to transform and bring you into this place of maturity, so that you're not just talking about stuff. You're actually experiencing what God wants you to experience, because whatever you're experiencing in this house in celebration needs to be celebrated outside of the house as well. And so let's just pray. Father, I pray tonight for the anointing, revelation, and understanding to enlarge our vision, enlarge our insight, enlarge us. Give us the capacity to be able to run the race with great tenacity, intentionality. God, that we'll see the results of who we are. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that we start to change the atmosphere and the ecosystem. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. I want you to take those three pictures and put them on the platform, because that's a prophetic act. And I don't know if you know this, that they're actually voting in South Africa this week. And South Africa needs revival. And it was amazing that they placed Africa next to Alaska. And I don't know about you, but I see the prophetic significance in that. Pastor Sage, I was like, whoa. Amen. I was born in South Africa, so I'm an African-American. Hallelujah. And I look at Alaska, and it's the furthest point from Africa. You can go on a map, and you can measure from South Africa to Anchorage is the furthest point on the atlas. And it's like, that is not by accident that they've actually had these pictures painted. You can keep Jesus in the middle. I like that whole painting there with Alaska. It's a pity he's not facing Africa, but that's okay. You can't have it your way all the time. But I want you to pray over South Africa. This is going to be a week of very important voting and elections. It's very important that we start to look at and recognize our responsibility as a prophetic people. Like Pastor Zach said, he said something very, very powerful here, that we're living a life of preservation. We live in this little zone called preservation. We preserve everything. And God wants you to become honorable in your responsibility as a son and daughter of God to pray for these nations. Amen. That's why I've just felt to bring it off there and put it on the platform so we can have it right in front of us and really understand the prophetic significance, because every time, where's your wife? Every time you paint, every time you put something on canvas, it's a prophetic, either a prophetic gesture, but a prophetic, it's almost like a prophetic nuclear bomb. Amen, of what's going on. And so I just want you to really just hear what the Lord is saying. So I'm speaking tonight about the characteristics of courageous leaders in revival. We've got to start to understand how to act in revival. And so the questions tonight, I'm going to ask a lot of questions. What defines you? What defines us as leaders in the season? If someone sat you down and said, define your leadership role. Define your gifting. Define your vision. Can you define that? Because we're in a season, I don't know about you, but I believe in the season where there's been this lockdown and reset, a lot of things in my life was redefined. Amen. I started to realize that I was going down this track. I had all this, if I could say it, idolatry in my life in terms of my ministry, my gifting, my me. And God said, no, that's, you're going to have to crucify that. I have to redefine who you actually are and who you are in the service to. I'm not in the service to me. I'm in the service to Him. So I had to redefine all that. And since I did that, I'm in the last 18 months, our ministry has gone through a metamorphosis like you can't believe. And if I had to tell you what my itinerary is for the next year, it'll blow your socks off. It's just opened up nations, and it's amazing what God's doing. So I'm booked up until next year, July. And it's all over the world. And it's speaking to leaders and mentoring leaders. And it's just, I shared a little bit with Zach. And by the way, I'm so proud of the fact that I'll be able to lay hands on you next year in April. I'll be on that platform. Hallelujah. And we're going to commission your pastors as apostles. Come on, give them a hand. Come on. It's so awesome. So I want to say this. You've got to be alert in the season. You've got to realize that in the season, especially in this ever-changing culture. It's changing all the time. And if you're not understanding the culture, you're going to be left behind. Let me tell you. You've got to know what's happening. You've got to evolve. We need to be evolving consistently by the power of the Holy Spirit, upgrading our ability to discern, especially with this current political stage that we have. And can I just say this, that the devil hates Republicans. The devil hates Democrats. Come on, get your whole priority sorted out. We think the devil hates Democrats. The devil hates Republicans. He hates Democrats. The devil hates you. He hates everybody. And you've got to start to choose which part of the kingdom you actually live from. So I pray for President Biden every single day. Because I don't believe in his policies, but I believe in the fact that the word says that I need to pray for the government. So we've got to sort that all stuff out, because that type of attitude will leave you in the dust. That's not the characteristics of a courageous leader. And so we've got to look at this stuff. You see, we use language for everything. I've been around long enough to realize, you know, I hear people speak about transformation, reformation, revival, and we use the language all the time, and it almost becomes normal for us to use the language without the actual demonstration. That's the danger. So it just becomes a language, but it's going to be courageous leaders that usher in the exploits and the results that match the language. So we've got to match the language. If we speak in a language of revival, we've got to see revival. If we speak about transformation, we've got to see transformation. If we speak about reformation, we've got to see reformation. Amen? Come on. It's like a child. I can't tell the child all the time, be obedient, and there's no consequences for disobedience. Now, I've been very quiet because some of you don't spank. Send you in the corner, jack in the corner, type syndrome, doesn't work. Hello? Disobedience will always bring forth, disobedience will create a result. Amen? Come on. I don't just speak to people about living a sin-free life. I want to see the fruit. So in other words, what I'm saying, it's going to be courageous leadership that are going to have to step into this whole climate of different language and say, okay, we speak about transformation, but do we actually see transformation? And so let's go to Kings, and I want to show you some things in Kings, 1 Kings 18. You've got your Bibles with you. I'm just laying foundation because we're in the season where we've got to start to choose and say, God, what do I look like to the world? What do I look like to this generation? How am I living my life? Am I living my life out in such a way that people can see courage? Because how many of you know that in the season there needs to be a lot of courage? It says here, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30. It says, then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. And it's such a prophetic model, of such a prophetic picture, because I believe that's what's happening right now on the earth. And all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been broken down by Jezebel. And I believe that we're in the season, you spoke about it tonight, that we've got to focus on the fact that every time you come in here to worship, you're creating an altar. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people that have created altars because we're in association with different things. So, quickly, an example. Jacob and his father-in-law built an ungodly altar that actually cost him his wife's life. So you've got to go home tonight and say, God, where in my life have I created altars that aren't godly? And I'm not going to go into that. I just don't have time. But yeah, he starts to repair the altar. It says, then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. And all the people came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been broken down by Jezebel. Then Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be your name. And with the stones, Elijah built an altar in the name of the Lord. Can you imagine what courage it took to do that? Think about that. The courage it took for him to call a people that had put down their, they had laid down their relationship to God. You can read it. They were sacrificing things to Jezebel, to Ahab, to all these, the goddess of this, the goddess of that. And when Elijah brought them together and said, how long will you limp between two opinions? They couldn't advance him. And I believe that we are in this stage, in this nation, in our nations around the world, where people are living in oblivion. They're so distracted to everything that's going on. We don't want to hear about righteousness anymore. But it's going to take courageous leaders that's going to get up and behind the pulpit start discussing why we don't even flinch when 21 million babies are murdered. Don't even flinch. We don't even flinch when our sons and our daughters at 3, 4 years old are given an ordinance at a school without the parents' permission that they don't have to be what they are born to be. We don't even flinch. It's going to take courageous leaders that's going to have to rise up in this season and recreate and rebuild the altars. And if you rebuild an altar of righteousness in this place, revival will actually seek you out. This place will become a well that will touch all of Alaska and all of the world. But it's going to take courageous leaders. What does that mean? It means you're dead to self. It's not about self-preservation. It's about representing the kingdom with great integrity. That's what it means. Amen? Come on. And so my question tonight is, how courageous are you? If we think about courage, you know, I grew up in the African bush, and I want to tell you, you know, we had to go to war. I actually posted something on Facebook this afternoon that really touched me. I just wept when somebody sent it to me.